Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good morning. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts on this Thursday as the month of May just keeps rolling along here. We've hit double figures in the month, May 10th, 64 degrees, plenty of sunshine, a sunny day today, and a high of 82. So great weather in store for us today after kind of a stormy night last night. I don't know about you. I ran into some hail last night in the Mahomet area. I don't know if it was penny-sized roughly, maybe a little smaller. But it was coming down at a pretty good clip at one point. So anyway, a little stormy last night, but everything is cleared out, and we are good to go for today. We have an open forum here, an open mic, open line, whatever you want to call it here in the first hour. So the floor is yours here in hour number one. If you have a topic you want to bring up, I'll throw some topics on the table, give you some things to think about if you'd like to get into some of those, or maybe you have your own topic. You kind of drive the bus here in this first hour. And then the second hour, Ed Charlow gave his final Busey Economics Seminar yesterday over at the I Hotel. He's been doing this. Well, that was his 66th one. He's been doing it since 1975. A lot of those years, they used to do two in a year, so that's why the numbers don't quite mathematically add up. But 66th seminar last night or yesterday afternoon over at the I Hotel. Really enjoyed hearing Ed over there, and we'll have him come in the 10 o'clock hour. He is retiring from Busey after working there for many, many years. Started out as a teller part-time, worked his way up to president of Busey Bank. So we'll visit with him in hour number two, and your chance to congratulate him on his retirement. And also he'll go over some of the numbers here in Champaign County. We live in a really solid economic area. When you look at all the numbers compared to some of the counties even around us or in different parts of the state. So always good to hear from Ed Charlow. We'll visit with him in hour number two. The return of the North Korean hostages overnight. Don't know if you saw that. It was about 2 in the morning, I think, 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And the president and first lady were out at Camp David there to greet the three hostages just released by North Korea. A summit will take place, the summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, apparently will take place in Singapore. Why Singapore? Well, we'll give you some reasons that may be the reason why that's probably going to happen. Iranian rockets fired at Israel from Syria. Israel fires back. And the Hawaii volcano continues to percolate's not strong enough a word. I mean, it's causing some damage in a lot of places. But I guess they're awaiting the big, big eruption. And I don't know if you're somewhat knowledgeable of volcanoes or how this works. Maybe you can call in today and kind of let us know what's next. Or can they really even predict these things? From what I'm told, they can't when the big eruption is. They can do the best guess, I guess. As what Captain Kirk told Spock, give me your best guess. And Spock looked at him kind of funny, like, what are you talking about? But no, you are kind of guessing on all of that. New police chief at the U of I comes from Ohio State. Could Tim Johnson have a portion of a interstate named after him? We'll get into that if that's a topic you'd like to talk about. Illini softball at the Big Ten tournament up in Madison. Scott Beatty has play-by-play of that today at 1:30. Dunkin' Donuts coming to an old restaurant spot on Springfield, it looks like. And a work on Centennial, the part of the bond referendum they passed, working on Tommy Stewart Field. Don't know if you've seen that in the News Gazette or have heard about that. So those are some of the stories we'll talk about today. If we get time, we've got a couple of leftover emails and texts that came in at the very end of the show yesterday. Had a lot of discussion during the end of the hour about taxes and roads and rental property and who pays taxes and how much and all of that. So we will talk off the top about those two texts and emails that came in at the very end of the show and then get rolling with an open line, open forum here in the first hour. Second hour is Ed Charlow. We'll come back, get it started on a Thursday now, May the 10th. Enjoy this great weather, 9:09 here at DWS. Hey, spring is in the air, finally, and warming up out there right now, 64 degrees. The Starwald Group would like to offer you a free, no-obligation home evaluation, even if you're not thinking about moving at the moment. If you or anyone you know would like a free home evaluation, we'd like you to contact Steve or Pam Starwald. They're one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. I've known Steve and Pam now for several years. Husband and wife team selling real estate. A lot of great people out there I know in the business, but this is a husband and wife team from Keller Williams, Pam and Steve Starwalt. If you'd like information on them, you can Google Starwalt, S-T-A-R-W-A-L-T. You can call them if you'd like, 239-7156, but Google Pam, Google Steve, and it'll all come up with the information to contact them. They can help you with several things. One, Pam has completed training and earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist, so if you're downsizing a little bit, this stage of your life, you can certainly take advantage of her expertise. Also can help out with any out-of-state referrals to agents in a particular state to meet your specific need and location. But they both grew up in Champaign-Urbana. They know this area. They know where the homes are, the locations. They can meet with you, give you no obligation on your end if you want to discuss your time frame and urgency to sell your home if you're going that route. Selling, home inspection, appraisal, there's a lot to buying a house and selling it, no doubt. Steve and Pam will be with you the entire way. It's the husband and wife team, same people on the same page with you throughout the entire process. So give them a call, 239-7156. That number, if they happen to be out with a client, that number rolls to Pam's cell phone. So it's not a number that'll disappear into a black hole somewhere. It's her cell phone number, and she'll get right back to you. So Steve and Pam Starwald, Keller Williams, give them a call, 239-7156, or Google Pam or Steve or Starwalt, and you'll be able to reach out to them. A couple of emails and texts left over from yesterday. We had Tom Bruno on in the first hour. Near the end of the show, maybe two-thirds of the way in, he talked about fixing roads, talked about how he had been in support or liked the idea before of a gas tax, a couple of cents gas tax to help pay for road repair. And he talked about how some people react very negatively to that idea. And so that spurred several emails at the very end of the show that we could not get to eventually. But it says here from Roland, he says, people or corporations own rental properties and pay substantial property taxes to the city. Where do they get the money to pay those taxes? Rental income. Renters also pay sales and gas tax. And Roland says it's silly to say renters don't count. And there was back and forth about who pays the property taxes. Obviously, if you own a property, you're the one paying the property taxes, but you are, of course, getting rent from the renters to pay for the cost of, you know, what's there. I mean, that's how it works, hand in hand. That was from Roland. Also, we had a text from Jane yesterday late in the show. It says, from what I understand, the artwork around town is rented. It would make more sense to use the money on potholes. I am sure people visiting here would rather have better streets than the artwork. And thank you, says Jane. 356-9397. We have an open forum. The mic, the floor is yours for your opportunity to speak. If you've got something on your mind you want to bring up, if you want to talk about any of the big news headlines, the Iranians firing at Israel last night. That's not surprising after the U.S. pulled out of the agreement, the Iran nuclear deal. It's not a treaty, but it was just an agreement. That's kind of an important distinction in all of this discussion as well. But the Iranians then immediately fired some rockets. Israel fired back. So there was some tenseness late yesterday into the night in the Middle East. Of course, in the middle of the night, the three hostages from North Korea arrived at Camp David. Joint Air Base, I guess, is the official. Anyway, they landed there at 3 in the morning. Vice President Mike Pence revealing new details about the conditions of the three Americans that were freed by North Korea, saying that one of them was evidently kept from the daylight while he was being held. Yeah, it is Joint Base Andrews. Pence tells ABC News that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told him that during a refueling stop in Anchorage, one of the detainees asked to go outside the plane because he hadn't seen daylight in a very long time. And the vice president also saying North Korea has been dealing with the U.S. in, quote, good faith, as President Donald Trump prepares for that historic sit-down with Kim Jong-un. But he also said that despite Trump's recent praise for Kim, the administration is not ignoring North Korea's abysmal human rights record. So that all happening overnight while we were sleeping. And we mentioned the tense conditions in the Middle East. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, the French President, Emmanuel Macron, calling for de-escalation after an alleged Iranian rocket barrage on Israeli positions in the Golan Heights. I have not been to the Middle East at all, but I, from what people have told me who have been there, you have a very quick understanding of how small Israel is from the Mediterranean over to the Jordan River and up to the Golan Heights, what a small area that actually is, and how those countries, how close they are to Israel, and how much bigger they are, for the most part, than Israel. So it's you get a good sense of that if you've traveled to Israel or the Middle East. All right, a text in from Sarah. It says, I find it interesting that for years the graduation was held in the non-air-conditioned assembly hall, now State Farm Center. Now that the building is air-conditioned, graduation is held in Memorial Stadium without a roof, subjecting all those attending to any type of weather. And I think part of that, they have been moving it around here in recent years. Part of that had to do with the fact, I think when it was in State Farm Center, they had to have two ceremonies, right? And at Memorial Stadium, they can have one, from what I understand. All right, let's go to the phones here. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Brian. Little question. I always win a little bet in the fall on the football field at Centennial. Mm-hmm. If Centennial is playing a home game, the paper on Saturday morning says Unit 4 field. If Champaign Central is playing, it's Tommy Stewart field. So what are they going to call it this fall?
I don't know. I don't think the field itself, other than it's being changed from what, grass to artificial turf?
Have you ever noticed that in the paper?
You know, I have not noticed that.
Well, when Centennial plays, it's called Unit 4. And when Central plays, it's Tommy Stewart Field.
Hmm.
They really should play their football games over at McKinley Field in Champaign, but they won't because of the neighborhood.
Okay.
They used to.
Yeah, so that area was big enough to host a football game, obviously.
The field's still 100 yards long and 50 yards wide.
Good point.
It's still big enough.
Yeah. No, they say they're going to replace it with artificial turf, and the Harold Jester track will be replaced entirely.
Okay.
So,
well, maybe someone will call in know if they've noticed that before, but I just wanted to bring that up because I've always won a bet because it is in the paper that way. They don't want to be called – Centennial doesn't want to be called Tommy Stewart Field.
Okay. Well.
All right.
That's a technical term, but yeah, thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate it. And my daughters have been at Centennial. I have one graduating here in a couple weeks. But I don't know if I've noticed that. The new synthetic field there at Tommy Stewart Field, if you will allow expanded use and will reduce maintenance for Unit 4 staff members. Apparently the replace track could lead to Unit 4 holding postseason and conference meets. And turf means PE and band classes can practice on the field without the prospects of wear and tear. The district confirmed earlier this week that the ongoing construction at Centennial High School was referendum-related. Construction is scheduled to continue throughout the summer, but in before the August 24th start of the football season. And it says in this article that Tommy Stewart Field hosts both Centennial and Champaign Central football games, which is true. All right. By the way, Central, just another note on Champaign Central. Got some students out there. At the Ellington High School Jazz Band Competition and Festival in New York. Champaign Central has made the cut out there in back-to-back years. Fifth time, the Jazz Ensemble has been named one of 15 finalists in the prestigious competition that started this week on Tuesday, runs through Saturday at the Lincoln Center. So good luck to the jazz musicians there at Champaign Central High School out east. 922 here at DWS. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line, open forum here in this first hour. We'll be joined by Ed Charlo, who's retiring. You can congratulate him, and we'll listen to his presentation, some of the numbers from his seminar yesterday over at the iHotel and Conference Center. We'll come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after this timeout. Penny for Your Thoughts continues here on this Thursday. News headlines coming up here in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, 356-9397. You can join us on the phone lines. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357. You can email us at talk@wdws.com. Why Singapore for the big summit for Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un? Well, it offers excellent security. It's a high priority for a U.S. president. Singapore also a track record of putting together top-level international gatherings at short notice. What other meetings has Singapore hosted? Well, they hosted a big meeting between the Chinese president and then the Taiwanese president back in November of 2015. That's the first time the leaders of the governments in Beijing and Taipei had met since the Civil War ended 7 decades earlier. Where will they meet? Well, it's there's a leafy Singapore suburb. Shangri-La Hotel, they say, is a possibility. When will the meeting take place between Kim and Trump? No date yet, but they say it should be held in Singapore possibly the third week of June, so about a month from now or so. And does Singapore's location play any part in the decision? They say some security analysts had been concerned that North Korea, I like this, may not have a plane capable of flying to a distant location. But Kim took a plane to visit someone in China this week, so perhaps he can get to Singapore. So there you go. Also saw 69397, some information on the potential meeting side. Also saw an interesting story this week about First Lady Melania Trump. She's been much more visible here lately. You had the big state dinner with the French president here recently. She's had a jump in her popularity since the start of the year, according to a new CNN poll. Shows her with a 57% favorability rating, up from 47% in January. In that same poll, the number of Democrats with a favorable opinion of the First Lady is up 15 points in January. And her support among women has increased by 13 points, with 54% of women now viewing her favorably. The boost coming as Mrs. Trump has increased her public profile, including by orchestrating the first state dinner of her husband's administration last month. Also unveiled this week initiatives she plans to work on as First Lady, including the well-being of children and cyberbullying. So I found that interesting about Melania Trump. And she was not very visible for quite a while early. In fact, she was still living, I think, at one point, still up in New York, and then eventually moved into the White House and was at a couple of the egg roll events over the last couple of years, but much more visible here in the past week. Of course, went to the funeral of Barbara Bush as well. We're at 929 on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. There's a text here. It says, Brian, did you live northwest of Tolono in the 70s? I went fishing at a lake by I-57 that I think was part of your family farm. Well, I think that would be right. We're actually pretty much straight west of Tolono. I guess it could be slightly north and west. But if you go the first road out of Tolono on 45, first road left, where the road tees right there, and just go 2 miles before you get to the interstate, you'll see the lake, and that's where it is. Yeah, that would probably be the same one. Barney's Fishing Lake. I hope you caught some fish. I'm sure you did. Tom in the township there down there, somewhere township. So, yes, is the answer to your question. We also, by the way, sold Christmas trees. I don't know if you bought any of those at some point. They're all gone now. The fish are still there, but the trees are gone. I think we sold them for $2 a foot. So you do the math. If you 5 foot tree, $10. Yeah. For a little more, I'd even cut it down for you. Professionally done, by the way. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us like those folks did on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, and you can email us talk@wdws.com. So we've hit on some of the key points. There is a new police chief at the U of I. Comes to us from Ohio State. Ohio State Police Chief Craig Stone will become, on June 18th, the U of I's top cop, if you will, the Executive Director of Public Safety. He replaces the retired Jeff Christensen. He had a 29-year career with the Columbus, Ohio Police Department, became police chief at Cleveland State, then to Ohio State in 2015. U of I not releasing how many people applied for the job or if any of the candidates already worked for the U of I Police Department. So that's some of the national and local news. Your thoughts on any or all of those stories. If you have a question, like our first caller did, about the use of Unit 4 Field as opposed to Tommy Stewart Field, those are kind of open-line topics. Anything you want to bring up is fair game here in this first hour. And then Ed Charlo from Busey, retiring, gave his economic seminar yesterday, his 66th and final one. Before he retires, we'll visit with Ed Charlo in hour number two. Michael Kaiser has news headlines up next, and then back with more Penny for Your Thoughts.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Bill Haley and the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. On this day, 1954, came the first rock and roll song to top the charts. Little anniversary there for you, 1954. This is also the day, 1983, Laverne and Shirley last aired on ABC. Remember Laverne and Shirley? I think we all do. This day in 1924, the FBI appointed J. Edgar Hoover director of the agency, and he held that post until his death in 1972. Think about that. 1924 to 1972, J. Edgar Hoover, one man in charge of the FBI. This day 10 years ago, happy anniversary to Jenna Bush. She got married to Henry Hager on this day at the Bush Texas Ranch back in 2008. And a happy birthday to Chris Berman, who is 63 today. Bono is 58. And interesting little sports note, 1967, this is the day Hank Aaron hit an inside-the-park home run. It was, of his 755 career home runs, his only inside-the-park home run. 356-9397 is the phone number to call. It's always available to you here on an open line. We can text Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357 and email us talk at wdws.com. Had a question about Barney's fishing lake earlier. Yes, that was our family fishing lake down there. Still open if you'd like to go fish. I don't know what Dad's charging these days. If you look at the headlines of the Iranian deal, the Iran deal, according to John Bolton, was betrayed by its own abysmal record. Another columnist in New York, Michael Goodwin, says, saved by the bold disruptor. He says, in making the decision to commit murder and mayhem while opposing their own people, the ruling mullahs in Iran sealed their fate with President Trump. Instead of using the sanctions relief they gained under President Obama, who negotiated to expand their economy and human rights at home, they used their cash windfall to develop a ballistic missile program and spread terrorism throughout the region. And he writes, goes on to write, the daily threatening of Israel with destruction and put proxy armies on Israel's borders with Syria and Lebanon. They're trying to put Saudi Arabia in a similar vice by arming rebels in Yemen. So that was one opinion. And then you had another one put forth by Susan Rice, who was, of course, working with President Obama, said it was the president's most foolish decision yet. And she says the president's reckless decision to withdraw the U.S. from the Iranian nuclear deal will not force Iran back to the negotiating table. And she says, as required in the relinquished 97% of its enriched uranium stockpile, dismantled two-thirds centrifuges in its entire plutonium facility. And she says the cost to American global leadership is deep. So you got two totally opposite end opinions on there. That summit, by the way, in Singapore, the president says his summit with Kim Jong-un will now be held June 12th in Singapore. I don't think the Kim family has traveled very much. I don't think he's been outside of North Korea or China, and I don't think it's true of his father or his grandfather. So that story about the plane, do they have a plane to reach Singapore, might have been a pretty good question. I think he usually travels by train, if he travels at all. Let's go to Dale. Hey, Dale, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
I got a complaint for the local police department and the sheriff. I travel from town to town in my car. I probably drive 800 miles a week, quite a bit. But I come into town on Route 10 in the morning about 6 o'clock, and I stop there at the gas station, get my coffee and everything. The people in this town in Champaign and surrounding, they drive like maniacs. They drive fast, too fast. They drive especially fast on 74 between Champaign and Danville. They drive very fast on 57 between Champaign and Effingham. I travel, when I'm on those interstates, I travel about 70 miles an hour, and they pass me like I'm standing still. And it seems like it's the younger people that are doing it. But not necessarily, but people just need to slow down. That's what's causing all these accidents and stuff. Like, their reaction time is not as great, as it should be if you're driving a little bit slower. You know, go to the speed limit. So you get there about 5 minutes before you're supposed to. They travel so fast on Mattis. Mm-hmm. They travel so fast on Bradley. You know, it's just ridiculous the way the people drive in this town.
Yeah, you think a lot of the accidents on 74 in that stretch are just because of the speed?
I think so, yes. Mm. I really think they are. They're just going too fast. It's just too fast. So. Mm.
Yeah, so you come on Route 10 by, you come, we're at Parallel 72 and through Bonneville and that way? Is that how you usually come
right,
in?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I live in White Heath.
Okay.
So, and that's just, easier for me because I can stop there, like I said, at the gas station, get some coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everywhere. I mean, everywhere in town, they drive fast. And then it doesn't make any difference if it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning or whatever. You know, if the Champaign police would set up a force to put, and I know it takes time, and start stopping these people and writing tickets, stuff like that, maybe they would slow down. Maybe. Mm. You know, I haven't had a ticket or been stopped by a police officer for probably 25 years. So, I mean, I do the speed limit and sometimes below.
Mm. So. So your point is they need to just enforce it more, give out more tickets and keep an eye on it, and that might deter a lot of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
They give me a pen and one of them ticket books. I bet I could write 25 tickets a day.
You know? Citizens arrest is what they say, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Hey.
I just wanted to put that in.
Hey, thank you, Dale. Yep.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, remember the citizens arrest? Citizens arrest. Citizens arrest. I think my dad got stopped once, I think. Or did he stop somebody? I can't remember. He would know. He probably wrote it down. I think we stopped somebody or were stopped by somebody like outside the assembly hall when I was a kid. And I remember the guy using the line, citizen's arrest. And that's always just stuck with me. I don't know what it was about. Let's go to Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Brian. Hey, a quick question for you. Nobody has shed any light on, and I haven't read the newspapers about these three Americans that they brought back. What did they do wrong? Why were they incarcerated? And it seems like they can't speak English because they had a interpreter there at the end of the bottom of the plane.
Hmm.
It's just kind of weird. I haven't really heard what they did. When were they citizens? You know, what were they doing over there? Were they spies? You know, I mean, yeah. do they pay for the plane ride back and all the diplomacy that had to get them out? You know, I really haven't heard anything other than they're Americans. When I've seen them, it looked like they couldn't speak English.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know what their background was. I know there are stories like in Iran where, you know, you'll have hikers who wander into Iran by accident.
Right, yeah.
And that's how they got there.
What were these individuals doing? I mean, were they espionage or, you know, it's something shaky about them cats.
I don't know. I have to do some digging on that. I hadn't heard. Maybe somebody knows. But that is interesting now that they've emerged on the public scene. What is their background?
Yeah, why were they there? You know, I mean,
why would anybody be there? I know Dennis Rodman went on occasion, but
I would never go there.
Yeah, I don't. It wouldn't be on my list at all of destination spots. So,
well, Brian, you're doing a fantastic job, and thank you very much for the show.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, we'll see you.
Yep, appreciate the comments. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone line. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. 351-5357. On there, CJ says, Hoover had the dirt on everyone. Is that an intentional pun? Hoover vacuums, I'm thinking. Okay, probably not, but I just made it into one. But anyway, no, Hoover had the dirt on everyone. He was in charge, of course, we mentioned, from what, 1924 to 1972. And also a text says, isn't it funny, all the shootings in Chicago, you never hear what kind of gun was used. So that's a tweet on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. The president tweeting today about Kim Jong-un. He says the highly anticipated meeting will take place June 12th in Singapore. He says we'll both try to make it a very special moment for world peace. Yeah, I think Dennis Rodman was like the initial, you know, he was going to basketball games or whatever he was doing with Kim Jong-un. How about that pair, huh? Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation? Let's go to Steve. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you doing, Brian? I'm doing good.
Good.
This is an older subject. It was a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago. It's about roofing.
Yeah.
And they were talking about that. Now, I think you already got your information, but a friend of mine has apartments, so he has a lot of roofing done on those apartments. He said the average price per square for tear off and replace is like $300 a square. And I think you had one caller called in and said it's like $300 to $350. So that's pretty average.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally had my roof put on by a Mexican crew. And I think I paid $60 a square for tear off and replace. And they did a super job.
Hmm.
And they also have done, they've done most of the work for my friend who owns apartments. And also these guys, they subcontract for some of the larger roofing companies in Champaign-Urbana, which that goes on all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I have a nephew in Columbia, Missouri, and he sold materials for a big company. I can't think of the name of the company, right? ABC, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all the big roofers sub out to the Mexican crews, so they're getting the cheaper labor, and then the Mexican crews will go out and do side jobs. So,
interesting.
That's kind of
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, I think I've had 25 squares maybe on my roof, or maybe 30, and I can't remember exactly that, but I think I had like 5,000 in the roof, and if I would have bid that out at $300 a square, you're looking at 10,000 or more.
Right, and remind me again, I'm trying to remember, Steve, a square, what is a square when you talk about that?
Well, it's like, 100 square feet or something? I don't know for sure.
Okay.
It's like three bundles. One square would be three bundles.
I see.
Sheets,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm no roofer.
Well, I helped my dad roof our house years ago, but I know nothing about it other than, you know.
But anyway, I mean, I got a good job done.
Yeah.
And But the fellow that did it, yeah, he was a Mexican and he had a Mexican crew. But I know they do subcontracting for some of the larger roofers in Champaign-Urbana. Now, you may get some calls and they'll dispute that, but I mean that's what I've that's what I've come to understand anyway.
All right.
And they don't want to admit that.
Hey, Steve, thanks for the call.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep, great to hear from you. And now we hear from John. Hi, John, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
Well, it was good to see those three Americans come back. And the last one of the callers was saying, you know, I think they were educators, and they were over there, you know, for his diplomacy, you know, teaching, you know, American English or something over there. But they do speak English pretty much.
Oh, they do.
But, you know, they just show, yeah, they just show peace signs like, hey, we're glad to be free. But I think two of them was from UCLA, I'm not sure, and I think the other one was from, like, Arizona University. But they were educators.
Okay. So the fact that they, so they probably did speak English well enough to teach it, right?
Right.
Interesting.
And they were just over there, you know. You know how the foreign exchange, you send North Korean people that live here over there to teach other North Koreans to come over here and get an education?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're over there doing.
Oh, okay. Well,
they were looking at it like, well, you're spying for the United States, you know? So it was one of those situations.
Hmm.
We've been going through that for years.
All right. Hey, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it. A few tips. We have somebody text in, says, to figure the size of your roof, see our square footage calculator. In roofing terminology, a square is 100 square feet. Composition shingles, asphalt, or fiberglass come in bundles that cover one-third square. Roofing comes in rolls 3 feet wide and 36 feet long for a coverage of about one square. All right, that's a few tips on roofing. All I know when I was helping my dad roof is I was trying not to fall off. That was my biggest goal. All right, we'll come back with more. We have Ted and Zoe. We'll get to you right after this. All right, open line here in this first hour for another 4 minutes. Let's see what all we can do here. Let's go to Zoe. Hi, Zoe. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. I just know a little about those men that were released from North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They're all named Kim.
Yeah.
And I think originally they were South Koreans. And if I'm repeating what somebody said, I'm sorry. But
no, you're fine.
I didn't. And then one of them I know they said was a pastor. And I don't know a whole lot of detail on any of that.
Hmm.
But anyway, and I just want to say, I don't know whether they have to pay anything about on their plane fare, but I personally think, unless they really were doing something wrong, which I don't think they were, they shouldn't have to, but they may. I don't know. I know there are rules on that, but the Secretary of State went over there anyway.
Yeah, I think it's government business. I don't know. I don't
exactly
doubt if they'd make them pay
and
for
I,
that.
I think, I also think that people are silly because the how this makes our country look is just wonderful, and the fact that President Trump went to meet them and his wife at 2 in the morning or whatever it was. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Ted. Ted, good morning.
Yeah, Michael, good morning.
Yeah, hello. Try blowing into your phone there a little bit. Is it working?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
I forgot to mention the other day of the legitimate roofers. Dick Butler's a legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
White out of Sydney's legitimate, but you can count on one hand the legitimate roofers. And the square is 10 foot by 10 foot, 100 square foot.
Very good.
And you're going to have 200. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have $200 a square either way it goes. But if you want to put somebody up on your roof who's uninsured, a subcontractor, and have the potential for them to fall off and lose your house, more power to you. But I don't recommend it, and I know the business very well.
All right. Hey, thank you, Ted. 9:58, and let's go to Dick here before we wrap up the hour. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Morning, Brian. I'm the guy that kind of got this topic started, I don't know, a few days ago. And I'm just going to echo what the last guy said. And my point that day was these Latinos that are going up on the roof and And the fellow mentioned that he paid $60 a square. Yeah, he got a great job, but he was paying some people that were being underpaid. And my point that day was these people that are going up on the roofs ought to be paid the same thing that everybody else is being paid. But then are they legal? That's an issue that that I was trying to touch on that day.
Sure.
But to answer a question that a lot of people have been asking, what is a square? A square is an area 10 by 10 mm-hmm. or 100 square feet.
Yep.
So I just wanted to jump in here real
yeah.
quick.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dick. Thank you for passing that along.
And you got a great show.
Thank you.
And keep it up.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Have a great day. 9:59, Ed Charlo. I saw him come in the building here in downtown Champaign, so he's here. He'll be with us. He just gave his last Busey Economic Seminar. If you'd like to wish Ed well, feel free to call us, text us, or email us. We'll get some numbers from him on our economy locally. All of that coming up. We'll take your phone calls, emails, and texts for him as well here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. 10 o'clock, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. It's 11 minutes after 10. We've got Ed Charlo sitting here in the studio with us. We'll get to him in just a moment as he had his last seminar, 66th Champaign County Seminar, presented by Busey. So we'll talk to Ed here in just a moment. We'll tell you first, though, the Beef House. It's a great drive in the country, I-74, with the planting of the corn going on right now. That'll be up soon. I've seen some of it up here a little bit as I've driven around, but it's your way to the Beef House, I-74. It's that short drive in the country. The Beef House features everything from 8 to 20-ounce ribeyes, petite to extra-large filet mignon, New York strip, chopped sirloin with grilled onions. Maybe you prefer pork. You can get one or two pork chops, depending on how big your eyes are when it comes to your stomach. Maybe seafood is more your style, barbecued boneless chicken breast. You can get some great pan-fried chicken dinners there. That I know a lot of people like that. So check it all out. All of the sides are terrific. My favorite's the baked Idaho potato with lots of butter. No sour cream on mine, but you can do that if you'd like. And if you have young ones with you, the Beef House has a child's menu as well as includes a hamburger or chicken tenders. So just take everybody there. Enjoy a night out at the Beef House. Take your office for the lunch buffet, whatever way you'd like to do it. Just go to the Beef House, Covington, Indiana, one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. And the vice chairman of Busey Bank is here with us, Mr. Ed Charlo. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I'm relaxed today after yesterday.
Good. You got that 66th seminar in the books.
That's right. It's been great. It's hard to believe how long we've been doing these things, but I remember the first one in the basement of the old Urbana Lincoln Hotel. Probably had 40 people there, and thought, what are we going to do? And, you know, I thought, I'm not going to talk about the national economy that much because you can read that every day and there are people a lot smarter than me on the national economy. So we just decided to start talking about the local economy. And that's a great thing to do in this area because we've got so many tremendous things going on.
Mm-hmm. Was it about this time of year in 75 when you did the first one?
Well, we started doing them twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them like in February and then 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Well, we learned that in February, sometimes we got snow and bad weather. So then when we finally went to one a year, then we did them in April or May, something like that.
Yeah. Did you wonder at that first one, when you said you had 40 people there, did you wonder ahead of time, is anybody going to come? Did you think about that?
Well, you always wonder because you're still pretty young. A lot of people don't know you. But we did get 40 people, and it was a great turnout.
And it got as big. I know you had to hold it eventually at the State Farm Center Assembly Hall because you'd have, what, 1,000, 1,100 people there?
Yes, especially back when we were demonstrating Internet and getting started on all the supercomputer things we held at the Assembly Hall. It was really impressive when you walked in the Assembly Hall and you saw the whole floor covered with tables and chairs and food and people and 1,200 people or so, and it was really exciting.
We're here with Ed Charlo. He is retiring, by the way, 356-9397. Text us 351-5357. on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, or email us talk at WDWS.com. You've been semi-retired. I don't know if that's even a possibility to be semi-retired, right, in recent years, because I know Van Dukeman kind of worked with you, and you could continue your work.
You know, it's sort of interesting how Van used to work for me over at Busey when he was a college student.
Is that right?
And, yeah, Van's a great person, and I wanted to slow down a little bit to be able to spend a little bit more time down in Florida and not have so many responsibilities. So we were able to work out what we called semi-retired or semi-active, and it's really been great.
Well, the Busey Economic Seminar was yesterday. You had it over at the I Hotel. Had a great crowd over there. And
my gosh, we had 600 people.
Is that how many were in there?
It was a very, very good-sized crew.
Yeah, and the I Hotel does a great job. That's been a real asset to our community, hasn't it, that location and where it is? And
well, it's been a great asset. It has parking, which is nice, and it's got overflow parking with the assembly hall lot, which we had to use yesterday with all of our people. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into some of the numbers. If you want to congratulate Ed along the way later in the show, we can do that. But let's talk about some of the numbers, the 66th Economic Seminar with the local economy. And I know that agricultural output, we always look at that kind of first with all the farmland we have around here. How is that going?
Well, farm production is going pretty good. I don't think prices are going the way farmers want them. And you probably know a lot about that. But we look at the value of agricultural output in Champaign County. When you add up all the grain, the livestock, the government payments, it comes to about $382 million. We're predicting this year it's going to be a little bit lower than that because the yields the last couple of years have been a little bit better than expected. And if we end up with the better expected yields again this year, we should be about 380. But right now we're projecting about $350 million.
Mm-hmm. 206 bushels per acre last year in 2017, and I guess they're estimating a little bit down this year based on the numbers, right?
Yes, you know, based on the average, we've got about 195 bushels to the acre, and farmland prices are probably pretty flat with where they've been for the year. Class A soil now is around $10,500 to $11,500. You know, there have been a few sales in the $12,000 range, but not a lot.
We had the stories out recently about, I guess, overall, farmers are looking at planting more soybeans than corn, which hasn't happened, I think, since the early 80s.
No, that's what I read also.
So what else do you have there, some numbers?
Well, we talk about retail sales every year. And with everybody buying online today, you really wonder, you know, where's your sales tax revenue going to come from locally? And I was very surprised when we got the agriculture or the output for retail sales that it's been up a little bit. It's about $2.8 billion. That's billion, not million. And we're projecting $2.85 billion for this year. And one thing we talked about were car sales, because people don't really realize how important car sales are to a community. When you take every dollar spent in Champaign County, 13 cents of that dollar went for buying a vehicle or servicing that vehicle. So automobile sales are a great sales tax producer to the city they're located in.
You had some interesting numbers on SUVs. How many SUVs there are? We park next to them all the time, I think you mentioned, at the grocery store, but there's a lot more out there than we realize, I guess, right?
Well, there certainly are. When you look at the total vehicles sold, now these are to individual customers, not to fleets and things like that, but 44% of all vehicles sold are SUVs. And it seems like, well, I drive one, but I always pull in next to somebody, and then you try to get back out of a parking space. I'm glad your car has that little beeper on it now that tells you there's another car in the way.
356-9397, visiting with Ed Charlo. He's retiring here at the end of July, I guess.
That's correct. Is your
retirement date. And, of course, he's been at Busey for how many years?
54 years. Started when I was 19.
Started as a part-time bank teller? Is that what?
I was a student at the university, so I got a job as a part-time teller at the bank for $1.25 an hour. And because I told them I needed, you know, more money going through college, they said, well, when the janitors go on vacation, you can fill in for them and we'll pay you $2 an hour. So I did both those jobs. Yeah. Well, back on retail sales, though, one thing I want to talk about is people don't really realize how many groups come into our community and what effect that has on our economy. The wrestling tournament was here just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Carol and I were out at Marketplace that Friday afternoon, and it was amazing probably 60-70% of the people out there you could tell had something to do with the wrestling tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think that was just one group and you look at all the soccer groups and everybody else that comes to town, those retail sales really mount up, and they allow us to have things we wouldn't have otherwise. Think of the restaurants, how much the restaurants depend on all these out-of-town people coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just very fortunate mm-hmm. to be here and fortunate that our retail sales are not going down.
Well, I was at an event, IMC every year, which is the high school coaches come in for a clinic right around the spring football time. And right. there's hundreds of coaches and their families. You think about those type of events over and over again in reference to what you're talking about with the wrestling, too. I mean, it's remarkable.
You know, they want to buy something that says Illinois on it or, you know, buy a football or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very important to the community.
We're at 10:20 here on Penny for Your Thoughts, and we've got Ed Charlotte with us here this entire hour. Payrolls, healthcare, education, our large employers, of course, the University of Illinois, topping that list.
Well, they really are. When you look at healthcare and education, let's look at education first of all. Let's look at the number of people that work at the U of I, at Parkland, or in the school districts. There are about 17,000 people work in the area of education. And then we look at the U of I payroll. Last year was $985 million, and this year we're estimating it's going to be $1 billion. An important source of funding is private giving through the U of I Foundation, and
mm-hmm.
the foundation does a tremendous job working with the alumni and securing many gifts, like the Siebel gift that was just announced a couple weeks ago for the new Innovation Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what has happened at the university because of private giving.
You have a list in your brochure, the top 15 Champaign County employers, U of I at Urbana-Champaign, 13,000, 934, almost 14,000. Carl, about 7,000, just under. Champaign Unit 4 School District, over 1,600. And then Kraft is number 4, just over 900. Christie Clinic, just over 900. And then Champaign County itself, and then the Urbana School District. And FedEx, 815.
It's a lot of people, isn't it?
Top 15 in the county. We've got some people that want to talk to you, too,
okay.
Along the way, so we'll work those in as well, given some numbers. Here's Ryan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You got a question for Ed?
Yeah, I'm actually his grandson, and we came up for Florida to watch his seminar, and I'm just wondering, what are you going to be doing with all your free time now in retirement?
All right. Down in Fort Buddy Ryan. Ryan's my 15-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
Down in Fort Myers, Florida. He's about 6'3", and we're really proud of him. But, Ryan, Grandma and I plan on coming down to Florida a little bit more often to visit you, so we're looking forward to having that time that we haven't had in the past.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
So how long have you been living all your life in Florida, Ryan?
Yeah, I've been living all 15 years in Florida.
Yeah. So what do you make? When did you first figure out that your grandpa was a pretty big figure here in the banking industry?
Oh well, my dad works for Busey Bank as well, mm-hmm. so I've always had to hear about him and grandpa and all their banking success. So it was nice being able to come up and finally see him in action.
Yeah. So you enjoyed the seminar?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, good to have you on. Anything else you want to add?
Hey, Ryan, we love you.
No, that's about it. Thank you. Love you, too.
Have a great trip back, and send us a text tonight when you get home.
All right, will do.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for calling, Ryan.
All right, thank you. And Tom is up next for Ed Charlo. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen, this morning?
Good.
Great, thank you.
First order of business, don't retire and sit on your big, fat couch because you'll be dead in 6 months. Keep busy.
No, that's for sure.
Got a question for you. Many years ago, several years ago, the Champaign County voters voted a 1% sales tax to go to education. In your world, has any other counties come and kind of tried to pattern after us to see just exactly how much money goes to education from that 1% sales tax? I know with all the people that come to our town, and everything, they really help pay for our schools.
Well, they do, and you know, I know we had the 1% sales tax, and I think I've heard that other areas have it,
mm-hmm.
other areas don't have it. but it appears in our area it's really helped the school districts out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it has. It's great. I live in Mohammed, and I was on the school board when that got passed, and, mm-hmm. and it was just great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really helped our school district and a lot of smaller school districts in the county that are really almost strapped for cash, if you know, because the state doesn't pay their bills.
Yeah, no, that's been a common problem. You saw the signs up that had the schools say, "Hey, the state owes us so much money." So,
yeah,
well,
right, that's
a big exactly problem.
Right.
Hey,
well, one thing else I got to tell you, Brian. You was talking about the beef house rolls.
Yeah.
Okay, I was down to Lambert's down in Sykeson, Missouri Tuesday. You know where that's at?
No, I don't.
Down in the Boot Heel of Missouri, down southeastern Missouri.
Yeah.
Lambert's Cafe, home of the throat rolls, okay?
Okay.
And I had my St. Louis Cardinal hat on, and the waiter told me, he said, "You know what we do with them? They actually throw the rolls."
Oh, okay.
Said, "You know what? Well, we do with the rolls that hit the floor." I said, "No." He said, "We serve them to Cub fans."
Very good, Tom. I like that.
I thought you might like that.
Thank you.
You want a day trip? It's 4.5 hours down there to Lambert's. Well, but I tell you what, you won't go home hungry. I guarantee it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Quick break. Back with Ed Charlie. I have some more numbers to share, construction numbers to look at, and some other important information he passed along at the economic seminar yesterday. Back in a moment. We had an open line the first hour. A lot of great topics. Visiting with Vice Chairman of BUC, Ed Charlo. He's retiring at the end of July. Gave his 66th and final Champaign County Economic Seminar yesterday over at the I Hotel. Right there on the U of I campus. And enrollment at the U of I. How is that doing?
Well, we have a lot of students over there. Back in, you go to 2016, there were 44,880, and then it jumped in 17 to 47,826. So I made a couple phone calls and said, how did it jump that much? Well, they said online students now are counted mm-hmm. in the enrollment base. So we have 47,800, including that, and we're sort of estimating about 48,000 for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at undergraduate enrollment, it set a record this year at 33,624. And when I think back when I was here, I was trying to remember how many students were here in the 60s, but I'm guessing it was probably 16, 17,000, something like that. So
probably be easy enough to look up. But
so when you look at the growth of the community, a lot of that's tied in with what's happened with the university. And then especially with the research area.
Yeah, I think President Killeen's been talking about with the system, the three schools here. You got the U of I at Urbana-Champaign, Chicago, and Springfield. About 100,000 students is what he's thinking about for the future
right.
in the U of I system. So pretty interesting there. Also, construction on campus, not just there but elsewhere in town, right?
Well, that's right. But, when you look at construction on campus, and this is just construction the university's doing. This is not mm-hmm. The new dorms that are being built, the big ones and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But $460 million right now, projects that are under construction or close to construction, that's $400 million. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of the jobs that provides in the community.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, you can always tell, I think anyway, like if you go to Nashville today, there's cranes everywhere. If you see a lot of cranes, that's usually a good sign, right? Is that a pretty easy indicator?
Well, it sure is. And a few years ago, we had more cranes here than they had in Indianapolis. And
is that right?
That was another building peak time.
Mm-hmm. So not just on campus, but also off campus, all kinds of construction. Parkland is doing some construction too, right? They've got a solar farm there?
Well, they've really got an interesting project with the solar-powered electricity field on campus property. And that's going to supply between 10 and 15% of Parkland's energy needs. And they've got an agreement with a company that come in, they do it. It doesn't cost mm-hmm. Parkland anything, but it reduces Parkland's cost at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's an amazing project, and I think everybody recalls the U of I and Parkland talking about the aviation school and what was going to happen with that, and Parkland took it over. They began training in 2015, and currently there are 67 students enrolled in the program.
We've got lots of numbers to look at. We'll visit with Ed Charlo if you have any thing you'd like to wish Ed well with, certainly as he heads into retirement. Feel free to do that. We've got a text about stock prices here on the line. We'll get to that as well. We'll do all this with Ed Charlo after this break for the news with Michael Kaiser.
DWS.
Tony Orlando and Dawn, the reason I say that is because that song was number one at the time you were doing your first seminar in 1975.
Okay.
So how about that?
Well, that was a popular song back then.
It was.
You still remember it.
You remember all that, that's for sure, yeah. Anyway, that was the number one song in the country back in 75. Of course, the economic seminar has been going on since then. Used to do two in a year. Now, of course, one and... wrapped it up in Champaign yesterday with the 66th Champaign County Economic Seminar. Ed Charlo is our guest this hour, running through some important numbers for our county. Some positive numbers, of course, for the most part. And this is was his last seminar yesterday, and he'll be retiring at the end of July. If you have any well wishes for him, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Or email us at talk@wdws.com. We had a question about stock prices. We'll let the guys next week handle the intricate question there of stock prices and they split and all of that. The Busey Money Talk is next week.
They're a great group.
Yeah, so we'll let them answer that. But he did say, happy retirement, Ed, and I enjoyed the seminar this week. So
okay, thank you.
There you go. Very good. All right, health care. A couple of big things. One is the new Carl Illinois College of Medicine. They get started here pretty soon, right?
Well, that's a big project, and you know, it's going to be the first medical school in the nation that focuses on the intersection of engineering and medicine. And the first class is going to be starting in July of this year, and it's unbelievable what this could do to our community if it really takes off.
Well, I know Dr. King Lee, Dr. Jim Leonard, there's been others working. Phyllis Wise, the chancellor before, was heavily involved in getting that underway, I guess.
Well, they were, and you know, Matt Gibb was at our meeting. He spent a lot of time on it also.
Well, sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people have spent a lot of time on it, but it's really exciting.
And also, speaking of Carl and Health Alliance, they've moved there a lot of their locations, different places they had around town, out to one location there on Staley Road.
Well, yeah, somewhere in my remarks I say if you were looking for a Sunday afternoon drive and you want to go somewhere, go out to the intersection of Curtis and 57 and see what's happening out there. The Carl at the Fields development is really significant. It's going to be a little town in itself once it gets completed.
Well, they're adding not just one big building, but two or three buildings out there. So if not some more and some restaurants, a hotel going in as well. Home sales in Champaign County, what do you have for us there?
Well, when you look at home sales, we look at new homes that get a water meter. And that's where our figures come from, the Illinois American Water Company. And our figures include Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy. In 16, there were 268 new homes. In 2017, it was 341. And we're estimating 310 for this year. And then you say, where were the new homes built in 2017? Well, Champaign had 195, Urbana 66, Savoy 80, and then Mahomet we've added, and they had 65 new homes. So we've had a significant number of new homes in the last year or two.
Of course, you had the Great Recession, all that happened 10 years ago, and I know the housing market struggled. That was probably part of the issue back then, but it's been a good year last year, for the best year in several years, right?
Well, it was. They sold 2,882 new homes last year, new and existing homes, which was the best in the past decade, one of the best. So that was significant. Plus, we're seeing home prices inching up a little bit. In 2016, the average price of a new home was $145,000, and in 17, it was $150,000. And how are sales going this year? Well, I always find it sort of interesting to look at pending home sales. That's the number of homes that have been sold, but they haven't closed yet. And in March of this year, there were 317. That was compared to 278 last year, so that was up 14%, which means April sales, when we get those in, are probably going to look pretty good.
And always get that warmer weather. That always helps here in the recent days to get that up. population of Champaign County, when you look around at the state, a good number of the counties, a majority of them, I think, are losing population, but Champaign County is gaining, right?
Well, they are. I mean, there are 102 counties in the state, and 84 of them have fewer residents today than they had just 5 years ago or just 1 year ago, which is pretty significant. And we're pretty fortunate. We're a little island right here. Champaign County shows good growth. Last year, we were up 980 people to 209,399. So you could basically say if somebody says, how big is Champaign County? Well, it's basically about 210,000.
And the unemployment rate for Champaign County and Champaign-Urbana continues to be among the lowest in the state, right?
Well, it is. When we look at the average unemployment rate for the year in 2016, it was 5.1%. Last year, it was 4.2%. And we're estimating 3.7% for this year. But I think we need to remember that even though we have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state, there are still people that are underemployed or unemployed and looking for a job, and we need to keep them in mind also.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're with Ed Charlo, Vice Chair of Busey. He's retiring at the end of July. We'll come back with more after this. 10:49, Penny for your thoughts. 71 degrees here in downtown Champaign, and Ed Charlo is with us. This is your first time in the new studio, right?
Hey, this is great. I like these facilities.
Yeah. The old one is nice and nostalgic, but these are pretty nice. By the way, Busey is celebrating 150 years, sesquicentennial. So right on the heels of the university celebrating their sesquicentennial.
And you know, you look at those pictures from 150 years ago. And then somebody remarked, Ed, you've been with Busey for over one-third of his existence. I said, gosh, that can't be.
Yeah, well, it was Samuel Busey, Colonel Samuel Busey.
Samuel T. Busey.
Yeah, that came back, and I guess he was, it says here, he was one of Champaign-Urbana's leading citizens, characterized in Champaign County history as a soldier, banker, patriot, and public-spirited individual.
Yeah, and he came back from the Civil War and said, what this town needs is a bank.
And it's still here, 150 years later. Got some numbers on the airport, speaking of people coming.
Well, you know, the airport was really a high point of our seminar because many years ago when it opened, we held our seminar 1 week before the terminal opened.
Is that
right? And we had like 1,200 people. We had cars parked everywhere. It was really exciting to see that new facility.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers are looking pretty good. 2017, United American had 104,856 in plane passengers, and that was the highest number since 2007. So I think Gene Cossey, the manager, is doing a really good job. And air transportation is so important for a community because people want to get in, they want to get out, and they want reliable service. So mm-hmm.
And they want to spend some money in town. So
that's right, while they're here.
Let's go to the phones here. Jim is with us. You're on with Ed Charlo. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, I just wanted to say congratulations to Ed. And I have retired, too, and so I hope he really enjoys it like I'm enjoying it. But there was a caller from Muhammad named Tom who he said, and Ed, you're really good with numbers. He said that school districts are doing very well because of the 1% sales tax increase. And it was actually a 1 cent sales tax increase, which is not the same as a 1% sales tax increase. In the way I do my math, I don't know. You're good with numbers. Can you tell me what the sales tax increase really was in terms of a percent?
No. I can't tell you that.
Okay, well, it was at 7.75, and then it went to 8.75 for the city, and then I think the county was 6.75, and it went to 7.75. So it just kind of it gets me because when people talk about a 1% increase, it doesn't sound very much at all. And but when you do the math, you actually figure out it's a 12%.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had that discussion in the newsroom. You know, what's the difference with 1 cent and 1%? And it can, you know, it's different. So
it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a penny, 1 cent is really it's 1% of a dollar.
Yeah.
But it's not. It wasn't a 1% increase. Anyway, I wish you the best of luck in your retirement. I hope you enjoy every year.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, got an email in from Brent. He says, I want to congratulate Ed on his upcoming retirement. I had the honor and privilege of working with Ed for 21 years at Busey Bank. This is Brent Burr.
Oh, gosh, says, I went to Brent's wedding.
Said, Ed was always the same upbeat, nice, and genuine person from first day that I met him until I left the bank to pursue another career. Ed always had a smile on his face. He always said hello to you. Two things that really spoke volumes about Ed as a person and his character. I had just gotten a new Grand Am, and Ed heard about this. I remember on a Friday, just after I had gotten it, we were leaving the bank at the same time, and Ed told me, he said, I heard you got a new car. Aren't you going to give me a ride in it? Here I was, just another employee, low man on the totem pole, and the president of Busey Bank asked me to give him a ride in my new car. I was blown away. The other instance was when he and Carol took time out of their busy schedule to attend my wedding in Buckley. There you go. Ed was a gift of always making everyone feel important. I just want to thank him for all the advice and encouragement he gave me during my career at Busey. You made a huge impression on my life, Ed, and I wish you the best of luck in your retirement. You're one special man. That's from Brent Burr.
Well, thank you. Well, Brent was a great person and is a great person.
You remember giving or asking for the ride in his car?
Yes. You know, the other thing I remember is we had our little Mustang convertible, and we were going to drive up to Buckley, and I pulled into the McDonald's, and the person said it'll be this much money. I said, well, that's not the regular price. He said, no, that's a senior citizen price. Aren't you a senior citizen? That's when I said, I think these young kids, they know how old we are.
Ed Charlow is our guest. We'll come back and get some final thoughts from him in just a moment. All right, remaining a couple of minutes here with Vice Chair of Busey, Ed Charlow. And, Ed, you've got who's our Economist of the Year? You pick that every year.
People make their predictions on what they think is going to happen for the end of the year. And Scott Bechtel, a local realtor, was our Economist of the Year. And he had predicted that the Dow was going to be really close to where it was. And right now it's at 24,712. Matter of fact, I think I just looked it up, and today we're up 170 points.
Yeah.
So, but Scott did a great job on that, and he got our Busey trophy and our Busey mug.
I saw Sue Gray was displaying hers yesterday when she spoke. Also, health care, one other thing you wanted to mention on health care.
Well, I think people need to remember how big of an employer's health care is. We have 8,000 people, over 8,000 people working in health care. And when you look at the excellent health care we have with Carl Hospital, Carl Physicians Group, OSF Healthcare, and Christie Clinic, we're just very, very fortunate to have the health care that we have here in the community.
And before we wrap it up here in the next minute, the Sweet Corn Festival and the start of the seminar, they go together, right?
Well, they all go back to 1975. That's the year I became president of the bank. And we wanted to start a seminar, but as I think I mentioned, we wanted to do it on the local economy and not the national economy. Mm-hmm. But then I got some employees together, and I said, let's think of something big to do for the community. So they said, well, let's do a Sweet Corn Festival. They do it in Hoopston. Why can't we do it here? So the Busey Bank employees volunteered to do the first Sweet Corn Festival. It was held in our parking lot, had probably 10,000 people there. It was packed. It was an exciting day. And the Sweet Corn Festival is now a big community event, and we're just so pleased it's continued because it just really is a very significant event in our community every year.
Ed, all the best to you and Carol.
Well, thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll see you around town.
We're going to be here.
Okay. Thank you for all your great work, and I know people really looked up to you and all these years. You are a treasure in our community, you and Carol. So,
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Very much. That's Ed Charlow. Retiring here at the end of July. Thanks to him for being with us today. We're back tomorrow. Penny for your thoughts, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.